And then guess what happens at 12:15? Yay! The best part of the day, right? Anyway, this room here will be the 100 pounds, more or less. We'll be having a panel of a couple of ladies up here that lost a few hundred pounds. In classroom A, there's making an action plan. B, there's step 10. Classroom C, before you take that first compulsive bite. And the large room down the hall to the right is the body image. So if you'd like to go to any of those or stick around here and see what these ladies have to say, that would be lovely. All right, everyone, we're going to stay at your seats, and we're going to start the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. So a moment of silence for those still suffering in and out of the rooms. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. Now, if y'all can't hear the panelists, please let us know. We could either put on the microphone, or here's a thought, get closer. We don't bite people anyway.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Ladies, thank you very much for being our panelists today.
Thank you, Sarita. My name is Marianne, and I am a very grateful compulsive overeater.
Hi, Marianne.
And I'm going to try to project myself because I never spoke with the microphone at an OA meeting, and I don't want to start if I don't have to.
Nope.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. If I do kind of get a little lower and you can't hear me, please raise your hand. I'm going to pass around some pictures. I'm from North Jersey. I'm from a town in Passaic County called Clifton. I came down here. I've never been here before, and I've never been to this Unity Day, and I have to tell you, I'm just amazed at the amount of people that are here and all the new faces that I see. I come from a very strong North Jersey group, and I'm just amazed, so I'm really grateful to be here. So I'm going to pass these around. My top weight was 245.5. I think I might have gone over that, but I kind of denied that. Bless you. And I was that way up until November of 2004. I started working this plan in the 80s. I came in, I got a food plan. I did not take a sponsor. I just wanted the food plan because I was fat and I wanted a diet. I left. And then I continued eating. I came back in 1989, and within a year, I lost 87 pounds, and I thought I was really it. I started doing crazy things with my clothes and my wardrobe, and I was down to a size 8 or 10, and I went nuts, and I started picking up again. And I ate compulsively for 15 years from 1989, 1990 until 2004. In that time, I did lots and lots of stuff. I tried lots and lots of diets, and my ammo was eating behind your back, not letting anybody know what I was doing. I didn't want my family to know, although they kind of knew when things were missing in the house. But I had young kids, and I would blame them. I would blame them all the time, these poor kids. But of course, if there was a whole box of something missing, you know, how can two kids eat all that food? And my gig was up when my husband would say to me, I'm going to buy one for you and one for them. And then I really knew, he knew. And how could he not know when I weighed 245.5 pounds? I had a very normal childhood. I came from a loving family. I don't remember ever having any sort of binge or food problems until after I got married. I had a kidney problem that was from birth that I didn't know about. I had to have surgery. I gained a lot of weight when I was home from work. And that was the first thing that I started diet control. I went to Weight Watchers. And I would have no problem losing the weight. I just couldn't keep it off. And the reason I couldn't keep it off after all these years, I finally found out, is that I have an addiction to sugar, wheat, and flour. So the food plan that I use now is a how food plan. I weigh and measure my food 4 times a day, and I eat 4 times a day. And I feel that I have enough food. I like my food. and I look forward to my food. And I thank God that the obsession and the compulsion to overeat has been lifted most of the time. There's still times that something looks good, and I'll say to my husband, do you mind if I smell that? And I'll smell it, and then I know I'm done with it. But I have to be careful of those times, because those are slippery, slidey slopes. So anyway, I gained all my weight. My pregnancies, I have two children. My pregnancy weight gains were astronomical. I think they were like 65 to 75 pounds. And in my sick head, I thought, you know, I'm a new mother, or a pregnant woman carrying a baby, and I need to have a very good milk intake. So almost every day, I went to Carvel. And I thought that was gonna be my good healthy food intake. With my first baby, I didn't fear anything because I was still into my early binging. But with my second baby, I actually feared for her health because of my food. And to this day, I still remember my very petite, small, male gynecologist having to lift my body with the help of a nurse from the stretcher to my bed after I delivered Aaron. And I'll never forget the face on him when he was lifting me. I thought he was going to die. And those are things that I remember. And those are things that keep my memory green. And that's very, very important to me. So anyway, I was up and down, up and down, up and down. The scale was not my friend. I would get on, get off, get on, get off. I would take the best of three, you know, and that was my number. Even today, although I have to say, when I weigh myself once a week, I make sure I go to the bathroom before I do that. I'm completely naked, so I make sure the door to the bathroom is closed. And I get on the scale, but before I do, I say, God, please help me to accept the number. Now, we're talking about 100 pounds more or less. So I lost more than what I've lost now. Today, I've lost 102 pounds. I've lost more than that in this recovery. But I got down very, very low. And people were saying I was too thin. And somebody said to me, don't worry, it's going to all level out. And it did. And with the help of my sponsor, I was able to add back some food as a maintenance program, and now I'm just about 102. It averages between 102 and 104 pounds, but it all started with 1 pound at a time, one meal at a time, one prayer at a time, and that's how it worked. Because I was such a heavy binger, and I didn't know that a meal, like Amy said before, had a beginning and an end, my food, I just ate all the time. So when I picked my sponsor on November 1st, 2004, I picked her because of the color of her shirt. She had on a lime green color, and I love that. That's my favorite color. And I worked with her for 8 years until she unfortunately passed away from cancer last January. She was a very unusually spiritual person. She could hug you across the room with her eyes. And she was just filled with program. And to this day, I always think, what would Jen do? Because I know that she lives in my soul and in my heart, and I'm very grateful for that. So anyway, I worked with her, and it was difficult at first. The first night I was abstinent, I had a Chinese auction to go to at an unknown venue that I've never been to before. And I said, what do I do? And she said, you call them and you find out what they're having. And I did. And I brought my little scale with me, and my sister was next to me. And I said, is anybody looking? You know, I have to weigh my food. And I weighed my protein. Nobody looked, nobody cared, and that's fine. Today I don't weigh when I go out, and I do have a scale. I really should bring that with me, because I know that, you know, your palm is usually about a 4 ounce piece of protein. And sometimes because of my craziness, I may have a little bit more. And I know that I have to be very, very careful. So I'm slippery at that time right now. I just want to keep an eye on the time. I work this program one day at a time. And I was saying before, because of the way I was eating, the first month I lost 23 pounds. And when I got on that scale and saw 23 pounds, I was blown away. But, and the next month was pretty good. So it took me about 100, to lose 100 pounds or more, it took me about a year. And I've been keeping that weight off, but the weight is just, you know, a secondary thing. You know, when people hear that how much I've lost and they see my pictures, it's so, it was so amazing after I lost the weight and I would see relatives for the first time. They were like, oh my God. And now people know me, have known me at this weight for the last 9 years or 8 years. And when they hear what I've lost, some new people, they're just amazed. But it's not just that. I work this program, I go to my meetings, I make my phone calls, I do my reading and writing. There are times that I'm very reluctant to do certain things, but I know that this is what I need to do. You know, if you were a diabetic and the doctor said you have to take insulin, you're not going to take half of the insulin. You're going to do all of the insulin because that's what you need to do. And when I don't do something, I let my sponsor know. I call my sponsor. I sponsor four people. You know, there's times where I just don't want to have to listen anymore to negative stuff sometimes. But I know that that's part of my program. I'm helping my sponsee because that sponsee is helping me. And that's very important. I've worked the steps. I really did a thorough step inventory with my sponsor, Jen, in 2005. It was just about a year after I was in program. And I do a 10th step every single night. And that 10th step it's a checklist. And if anybody does not know what a 10th step is, please see me after the meeting. I'll take your email and I'll send you the 10th step that I use. It asks me, was I dishonest? Was I selfish? What did I do today for someone else? What did I do for program? What was I angry, selfish? You know, these are things that I need to keep tabs on. And usually by the end of the day, I know if I've done something wrong, it doesn't sit right. Even if I take something from work now, like if I need a marker from work, I'll throw a dollar in the petty cash thing because, you know, that stuff is not mine to take. Whereas when I was binging and I was eating, that stuff I felt entitled to. And so I try to be very honest. If Amy, who was here at the beginning, the keynote speaker at the beginning, she said esteemable acts. And again, my sponsor told me, if you want to feel good about yourself, or if you don't feel good about yourself and you want to feel good about yourself, you should go out and do an esteemable act. One thing that's helped me a lot is tipping somebody when they don't see me put that money in the tip jar. Because at first I was tipping it because I wanted them to see, I'm tipping you, I like your service, thank you for the good service. But now I don't even, I wait until they turn around and I put the tip in. Because I don't need them to see, you know, I want them to know that I really appreciate them, but I don't think I need to see that. I was doing it more for me than for them. So I'm grateful for that. So I you know, do all my tools, and I plan out my food. Every Saturday night, my husband and I go to the fruit market. We found a fruit market up by us that's inexpensive. We're in and out in 6 minutes. We bring in all our bags and we buy all the fruits and vegetables we need that will last us a half a week. On Wednesday, he goes back. Now, he's not in program, but he eats the same as me and he's lost a lot of weight. My daughter eats the same as us. I have a very, very, very supportive family. My husband will go into a restaurant and if I order something that doesn't have enough protein, he'll ask me if I want some of his. That's the type of guy he is. I'm grateful for that. Yeah, he is a keeper after 37 years. So I'm grateful. How much time do I have left? 5, 10, maybe 5 minutes or less? About, okay, I just don't want to cut into your time. So anyway, the topic is 100 pounds or more. Like I said, it's not about the 100 pounds or the weight. It's one meal at a time. And I just came from a session that was talking about the doctor's opinion. And really, that was a very good one. And I don't have to worry about craving the food if I don't put it in my mouth. And one thing I have to say, when I first came into program and I was working this program, somebody who had been abstinent for a long time did not stand in our meeting, in our HAL meeting. We stand when we're a sponsor and we qualify briefly about how much weight we've lost. And this person did not stand. I was so blown away by that. And I'm like, oh my God, what did they do? What was so bad that they didn't stand? And now I understand that they were having a problem and they didn't feel comfortable. And every once in a while, I think to myself, you know, that could be me. I need to be spiritually fit. And spirituality to me doesn't mean I have to be kneeling in church on a holy day. Spirituality to me is getting up in the morning and being nice to my family, holding the door open for somebody, introducing myself to somebody who doesn't know me, going to a meeting and seeing somebody not smile and maybe take their number and try and call them the next day. That's what spirituality is to me. And I can actually see the good in a lot of people more so than when I was binging and eating. Today, like the other day, we were having trouble with our neighbor. They have double driveways. They choose not to plow the whole driveway with snow. They only make room for one of their cars. We have a single driveway. My husband plows the whole thing, and he makes a spot for me in the front of the house. And the neighbors have been taking my spot. And my husband's first thought was, I'm going to park. He says, I'm going to park my big truck in those spots so nobody can park there but me, and you take the driveway. And I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. My brother said to me, Mayor, you're close to these people. Why don't you just say something to them? And I was like, oh, my God, that is the right thing to do. And I spoke to one of the neighbors, and she was so understanding. And she said, I'm sorry, I didn't even realize my brother-in-law was parking there. And now he's not, you know, so I know that in my head, you know, my husband wants, you know, I can't believe what they're doing. That's not right. Blah, blah, blah. And I went along with it for a little while. And then I realized it's not the right thing. But I asked him, I said to him, would you mind if I spoke to them? I didn't want to speak to them behind his back because that wasn't fair either to him because he was just as angry. But those are things that can be fixed, you know. If I need to make an amends to somebody, I make it immediately, and that's the help that I get from that 10th step worksheet. So I'm going to close, and I'm also going to say, if at the end of the meeting you want a copy of it, I'd be more than happy to send it to you. Just give me your email address. And I thank you so much for being here and for being all new faces and knowing that this program is a program of fellowship. You know, it's not just me working this program. So thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Kim, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kim.
Hi. I'm going to move this so it'll pick me up. Actually, I'm going to stand. I'm a former teacher, so I like to see everybody's faces. I'll give you the short version. Came into program in 1998 at 354 pounds. Lost 150 pounds. 10 years later, 10 pounds at a time. Gained 105 pounds. And then lost 115. So I've lost right about 160 at this point. I pray before I always start. God, please give me your words. And I started that a few days ago. Got to give him time. And I kept thinking something, I would have this brilliant insight. And once again, not a lot of brilliance came through. However, this morning, the words keep changing came to mind. So that's kind of what I'm going to talk about, is the willingness to keep changing. When I came into program, I had a different job. I lived in a different house. I lived in a different town. And I was single. All of that changed for the better. But as I go along, other things have to keep changing. One of the things I learned through relapse is that my binge doesn't look the same anymore. My binge was a binge. 2 boxes of, a half gallon of, and a pound and a half bag of, and a bottle of. That would be a binge. That was a good Friday night. Now, it's an extra cup of, a few tablespoons of, an oversized salad of, you know, and you'll see as the thing goes around, some of the rational lies that I told myself. I read this book not too long ago, and it was a pretty sucky book, but one thing he said was, I can rationalize. Rational lies. And so some of them are, it's just vegetables. It's only 2. I used to do the whole sleeve. It's only 2. Or it's only an extra serving. It didn't matter this time. I had all kinds of them. All kinds of them. But I didn't realize how false they were until 105 pounds later. I figured out that things had to change. My binges had changed. They had gotten really small, but still it wasn't working for me. Things have to change, such as things like the latest one I'm working on is trying to help my boss do better. Like I can control him. My job is to assist him. My job is not to make him do things. I can't control those things. So one of the things that I promised him and myself, I decided to make an amends to him. And he's a last minute Louis. And when he comes to me at 4 o'clock and says, this has to be filed at the patent office today. Now we have a 2 o'clock deadline for that. But he doesn't have to follow those rules. I would get all twitchy and pissy and anxious and, oh, I gotta hurry up and get this done. And I would create this whole franticness around me. And I noticed that it would feed him. And then he would become snarky. So I decided to make an amends in my behavior. I'm going to change the way I would act by breathing and saying, okay. And act as if, no big deal. Inside, I'm going, dadgummit, again? What is this? 4 o'clock on a Friday and you've got to get the... This is in my head. But if I don't act out on it, that will eventually calm down. So on Wednesday, we had 2 last minute things. Okay, God, you're going to let me practice, huh? So I practiced being cool. It's fine. That's great. Everything's good. And you know what? He was very gentle. He was easygoing. We got it all done. Thursday, 2 last minute things. And by 5 o'clock, I decided I was leaving whether he was done or not. I had a hold inside. I'm still a little churning, but not as bad as it would have been. And it was okay. I'm acting as if I'm changing the way I behave in this situation, because it sounds like a minor thing, but if I allow myself to get agitated and anxious and then it feeds him and he gets that way too, I'm going to go home and I'm going to have a bottle of or a bag of or a pound and a half of or an extra cup of. And I don't need to do that. So it's a constant willingness to change whatever it is that's going to rock my serenity. Because I read something, you know, I can take pain. I can take it. I got to 354 pounds, and let me tell you, that's painful. It's painful in all ways of my life. It's painful in just moving around. It's painful in how I felt about myself. It's painful in the fact that I kept clothespins on my curtains so people could not see in my house. It's painful in that I didn't want to answer the phone. I didn't want to talk to people. Everything was painful because I have this self-esteem that was the train derailed. Sorry about that. It was created by the size of my butt. The bigger my butt got, the slower my self-esteem got. So I didn't, and that was just part of it. So I could take a lot of pain. But now, I can't take it as much. It doesn't take as much for me to realize, ooh, this isn't good. It used to, it would be a long time before I'd even realize that I was uncomfortable. Now, it takes just a little bit, and I can feel uncomfortable with the way something is. So instead of being snarky for a week, now it only takes me maybe 30 minutes of snarky to realize I need to look at what's going on and change whatever it is I'm thinking about, change how I'm feeling. So I don't know if that's making sense to you, but it takes less for me to realize I need to make a change. Some of the things that I've been changing, besides the food, is willingness to do, say, service. I had backed off for a while. My food's not in a good place, I'm not in a good place, and I wasn't doing as much service. And so I've started doing things, being willing to do things that, for example, the website needed help. I didn't know anything about the website. I didn't know how to do it. But I was willing to see if I could learn it. And so that made me feel good about me, because quite frankly, I was thinking that at the ripe old age of 54, that my memory was not capable of learning this stuff. I've struggled at work with some of the new things that we've had to learn. And what I realized is I'm just struggling. I'm not incapable. So working on the website, oa-centraljersey.org, by the way, is something that has helped me to feel good about my ability to still learn and to do things. One of the things that I do, and I apologize if you've heard this before, but one of the signs I saw at a Jersey Shore intergroup retreat, I'm not sure. There was a sign in the back of the room, and it said, "The Law of Contrary Action." And since I wasn't paying attention to what was being said anyway, I thought about what that sign meant. And now I just say, take contrary action. And what I take that to mean is, do something different. Whatever you would normally do, I'm anxious, I'm going to just mouth off at my boss, or I don't actually say anything, I just give a lot of attitude. I'm not going to do that. That's a contrary action. Do something else. Sure, no problem. We can file that today. Okay, that's a contrary action. And maybe that isn't the perfect contrary action to take, but it's better than the one I was doing. I know snarky doesn't work, so let's try something else. I know eating extra vegetables doesn't work, so maybe I'll try something else. How about riding the bike or going for a walk? Take a contrary action. Anything is better than what's ever got me in the pile of poo that I'm standing in. So take another action. And even if it's not the right one, it's better than that. So that's one of the things I do, is take a contrary action. See if there's something different I can do. We've mentioned Margaret once before. There was this thing going on at work. Different job. Funny, I still had an attitude though. And I had to take bills out of old files before we threw the files away. Not throw them away, we're sending them back to the client. And the boss wanted me to take the bills out of the files. And they're echoed down, so they're clipped in. And I'm getting angry as I'm looking at these bills, because he has so overcharged. And really, I thought it was just absolutely atrocious that he is putting this kind of a... It was just wrong. And I'm ripping these things out, and I'm talking to Margaret about how I'm doing it, and I'm demonstrating how I'm ripping the bills out, because I'm not bothering to take them out and do it neatly. I'm pulling them out because we're just going to throw them away. And she said, "Kim, this is really bothering you." I said, "I have days and days of looking at these bills of how he has overcharged, and just, I can't even think how I'm going to get through this. Every time I look at them, I get so angry." She said, "Why don't you try using your left hand?" What? Just try it. Do something different. Do something different. Try ripping them out with your left hand. Well, I'm right-handed, so using my left hand was... I had to think about it, and you know, I couldn't pull with that kind of anger that I had. And sure enough, by the mid-morning, the anger was gone. I was simply ripping out bills. Did something different. And who would think that just switching hands would make a difference? First of all, it's the willingness to do something different. It's actually doing something different. And if that hadn't worked, I could have taken a pair of scissors to them. I could do any number of things. But making a change in the way I behave was making a change in the way I felt. Sometimes I have to change my thinking to switch my behavior, but sometimes I simply have to change my behavior to have my thinking follow. So this is one of the things that I've learned in order to do this program is to constantly be willing to change. Yet, as I was thinking about change, I realized there are some things that I need to do the same every day. One of the things that I've been doing nonstop for several years is to do the 10th step, the daily page. It's kind of a 10 and 11 combo. And I do it online, and I send it to two friends, and they send me theirs. So this is a constant thing that we have been doing through thicker, through thinner. We're always doing this daily page. And that consistency is also what keeps me here, which has given me some success. Because of doing the things that do work, you know, I could take contrary action and stop doing it, and that would not be very good. But that's one of those things that I need to continue. So I look at what is working, and I continue doing it. Sometimes I know I have to do more of it. If reading and writing is really good, then maybe a little more on those days when I'm not in a good, steady place. Using the phone. To this day, I still struggle with the telephone. I've always been a person who just kind of goes, oh, I don't want to deal with this. And in the past, I'd say, I'll call them back tomorrow. Even if it was one of my students' parents or something, I'll call them tomorrow. I was great at procrastination. And now, I may still pick up the phone and go, I don't want to talk to anybody. Hi, how are you? No, nothing. What's going on? Take a contrary action. Because soon, if I keep isolating, I'm going to find myself right back where I used to be. And it wasn't good. It wasn't happy. It was suicidal. So this is what these are the words that I came today with. Be willing to change. Thanks for letting me share.